cup. Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does, and we are plausibly in the air everywhere for this week's edition of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, and we allow David Gesk on again, because 4 hours are not enough. A special added bonus, as we are powered by iHeart, the global reach of podcasting, and it's heard weekly, if you don't know this by now, every week, about this time, give or take. Some weeks it probably won't be at this time, but most of the time it will be here, dropping around the same time, early afternoon in the East, late morning in the West, and you can download the podcast. Well, if you subscribe, you don't even have to worry about it. It goes right to your phone. Boom, done like that. Way to go. And we're back at it. And I got to tell you, Gascon, you know, my voice sounds great this week. Doesn't sound any different than any other week. So don't send those stupid emails, you morons. I don't need it.
You've woken up on the wrong side of the bed today. It's very apparent.
And no, I have not.
And you've brought me down that road, too. I am exhausted because I've had to stay here overnight to monitor your show. You've brought on special guests. It's a little appalling to me and your listeners. We deserve an apology.
You did not. I saw you leave the building. There's security camera footage of you leaving you psychopath. So you did leave the building, and you know, I don't know if you got attacked by bed bugs or something like that. You probably don't have a sleeping over bed like I have.
No.
But no. I mean, listen. We do this. We tape this thing during the day, and so sometimes I can be rambunctious when that happens. But anyway, we're back at it. And coming up on today's edition, through, I'll give you the rundown here because I like doing the rundown.
Nice.
So this is what we're cooking up here on the podcast. We'll talk about what we'll call the embargo baby. I have not mentioned this before. We try to give you like insider stuff. Somebody pointed out, by the way, Gascon, that we did no sports conversation last week. There was zero sports conversation. And as someone who is the producer of the podcast, Gascon, I fully blame you. In fact, I want you to know that if anyone complains, my default response, and when management calls up and says, I didn't like what I heard there on this podcast, I just blame you. I say it's not my fault. It's Gascon's fault. You're my fall guy.
Well, the beautiful thing is, as you mentioned, the top is we're under the iHeart Media umbrella, so it's not strictly Fox Sports. It is iHeart Media, so we encompass all that is in this good world.
That's true. That's my thought on this. I mean, I do 4 hours of sports talk, plausibly sports talk. So this is not, it's not like I'm trying to circumvent sports talk, but one of the things that I would like is that I want this thing to last, this podcast, as far as the fact that if you listen to it, I listen to podcasts from time to time, and when in the sports corner, when stuff is dated, it's I evade it, you know, I bypass, I sidestep it, whatever you want to do. You know, a lot of these sports issues we talk about, unless we just do really generic things, which I'm not against, you know, I mean, from time to time, you know, you love List Radio, Gascon, you invented List Radio. I feel it's disastrous, but we could do like top 10 lists. We could do top 5 lists. You know, we could do all that stuff, but you got to keep it more open-ended.
We could do that because, I mean, after all, we can record, right? We can just record out a general sports topic and then not even worry if it changes the subject in a day or two or even hours after that, right? Something breaks and we still have some recorded content that's still, it's not evergreen, but it's what we have.
Was it 2 weeks ago we were talking about it? We actually recorded a part of the podcast talking about Antonio Brown.
Benny versus the Penny.
And we had to delete that. It's a team.
It's a team.
Yeah, it's in this respect. It's a balancing act. Sure. But yes, and so that content had to be deleted because it was dated and all that. The story had changed, and that happens a lot with these dopey things. But you know that already. Yeah. Anyway, so
I want to put you. We talked about this. I need to have you on one of my games, on a television game for Fox out here on Fox Sports.
I would love that. I would do nothing but sports cliches.
I might get fired.
No. I think it would be great, and I think they should, just as a bit to improve ratings. I would do that. I haven't been to a high school game since, you know, I was in high school, but I would absolutely go. I would have a great time. It would be a lot of fun. And let me tell you something. All right, the amount of hardo sports talk that I could do here, if you want, I am a contributor. I kid around about this, but if you go, I'm going to give you a website. If you go to sportscliche.com and you click on, there's a link there near the top. It's called Mission Statement and Links, and it lists all the contributors of the people that sent in these things. And my name is prominently displayed there on that particular page. I have contributed to what I feel one of the great websites out there. Thank God for the internet. Not many people know about it, but sportscliche.com.
Well, you've had a couple of fantastic monologues with sports cliches from sports personalities, right? Or athletes?
Yeah. Well, I love it. Well, we did a parody song years ago, which I'm very proud of, when it was like a pandemic all of a sudden hit. And it was everyone saying it is what it is. Like all, and so I put I had someone else do it. Because I pointed at someone else.
Right.
But we put a song together, and it was the "It Is What It Is" song. And it was like 10 different people in football, the big stars at the time, and they all just said it is what it is. Like Belichick, Elijah Manning, Tom Brady, they're still around. They were doing it and all that stuff. So. But just think of me, like, I'd have to, you know, I interviewed the high school coach down by 2 touchdowns. Coach, I mean, how do you stay hungry? You're up by, you know, you're up by 2 touchdowns, you're down by 2, whatever. And you can go down that and go down that road. What else?
What's your feeling, coach, heading into the locker room right now?
Yeah. What do you tell your team at halftime, coach? Boom. I love that one. That's a great, I stole that from Aaron Andrews. I did. I stole that from Aaron Andrews. Coach, the matchup, your numbers look terrible. Looks like you have no chance to win, but the stats are misleading, aren't they?
That's great. Man, you can survive as an NFL field reporter. You'd be in a good spot.
Yeah, I think I'd be all right. I think I can handle that.
Now,
so,
the one thing that you cannot say during a broadcast like that, which a lot of radio hosts do now, or even television personalities, is they always use unmitigated disaster. That is a catchy phrase over the last year and a half.
I use that.
You do. You do, but you don't use it as much. Other people, I think, use it as a crutch. But I don't know if you.
Why is that not allowed? I mean,
it's okay, but you go back to the cliches, right? The dumpster fires, or you know, whatever it is, something that's catchy. It is what it is. Those things were played on for a long period of time, and now unmitigated disaster is one of those.
So this is like an earworm for you. You hear this, you're annoyed by this, you're troubled by this.
Well, I just think that it's overused. Right?
Well, a lot of this nonsense is overused. I mean, everyone's using the same language. I do try to change it up, though. I get fatigue from using the same words. And I do need to – my goal for the next week is to use the word hornswoggle more. I don't use that word enough. I love the word hornswoggle. I feel like it's a great word. It's a perfect word. It's a fun word.
Yeah.
Kids laugh at it. Adults think it's interesting that don't always hear the word. So I like the word hornswoggle. I need to use that more. It's a bad job. By me.
Well, please use it tonight then. Use
well,
it today.
Well, you know what? No, wait a minute. Now, Gascon, though.
Yeah.
You do these high school games. Every Friday you do a game, is that right?
So, yeah, for Fox Sports West, I will do high school football games. And then once we get into winter, it's usually college basketball and some volleyball and then baseball. Stuff that you don't really care about, so don't ask.
No, I have no interest in that at all.
But it's on Fox, so you should watch.
Well, not here. We work at iHeart, so this is an iHeart-only product, so you don't have to do anything there.
Love you pulling rank.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.
Get out of Dodge. get out of Dodge, as they say. But no, I would have fun. It reminds me of, I think we talked about this, I don't know if we did on the podcast or not, but when I used to do the football show, the Hardo football show with Looney Tunes on the weekend, we had a great time. We did that 7 years I did that show, and we had to interview every week. We had the stars of the NFL on Fox that would come on, the play-by-play people, everybody, even Joe Buck had to do this and come on with us. And we had players every week from the winning locker room, because never the losing locker room, because the reporters were afraid to have them come on the show, and they wouldn't come on the show. Anyway, so we do this every week, and Looney, at 1 week, we tried to change it up because we were asking really good, thoughtful questions, deep questions, you know, the kind of questions that you got to do some soul searching for the athlete to answer the question. And it was such a disaster. It was painful. So we changed it up, and Looney would just ask. One week he asked nothing but sports cliches to the players. He spoke their language. Like, hey, you really brought your A game today, didn't you? Yeah. And things like that, you know. And they just ate it up. They were tickled to death that they were asking these questions, and it was a tremendous improvement. So that's a little lesson. If you ever get a show where you have to interview athletes after football games, don't ask them those deep, soul-searching questions, you know, where they could get lost in thought. You don't want introspection. You don't. You want simple. You want right there, as simple as it gets is what you want.
I feel like there's a boilerplate template that's available for field and courtside reporters for halftime and for postgame. Just immediate questions that come off your lips. How do you feel? What led you to victory? What was the turning point in the game?
Yeah. What are you going to tell your team at halftime, coach?
Right.
Halftime adjustments.
What are you looking forward to next week? Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
So I have a theory on this. You're right. This goes on everywhere. I don't know anyone that's really outside that certain lane. They stay in your lane and all that stuff. Mm. I know that saying fortune favors the bold, which I use from something, but not when you're a sideline reporter. It does not. You want to keep your money. You have to play by it. The other thing is, I think people have just become programmed to watch football or any sport, and they expect. You know how there's like a certain expectation? It's kind of like when I watch a game and I know it's a blowout, and it's every broadcaster learns at sportscaster clown class that, hey, we can't say the game is over. We have to lie, right? We have to lie to these people's ears and to their face and all that. You should not turn the game off. You know, it's a barefaced lie, but you have to say it anyway because you're trying to keep your audience, and it's harder to get new people than keep the people you already have. So it turns into in a blowout, it's pathological lying. There's a chance they could come back. Yeah. And once out of like 1,000, they come back. And then when the team does come back, then it's like, well, I told you, see, you should never turn the game up. No, 99.9% of the time, if you consider all the factors, the game is over. But it's a blowout, and you use weasel words, Gascon. You're a weasel.
No. How do I use weasel words? They say that a broadcaster makes his or her money during blowouts because that's the only way that you can keep an audience around. It's like a talk show host, right? Like, you can have a strong opening monologue, but if you got no salt, no pepper, nothing in the middle towards the back end of the hour, then you're game over. You're there for, what, 15 minutes? So in a blowout game, you need the backstories. You need the players. You need their stories. You need to know how they came about, where they came from. I think those things are important. You can just have a regular conversation.
See, I disagree with your analogy here. It is the thing that it's like.
Oh,
is like,
of course you would.
Well, let me just explain
crap.
Here.
No.
I'll teach you about.
You know firsthand what? That there's only hosts that provide a good opening monologue and they check out after that.
Well, that is true. That is true. But I would say the bigger issue in our industry, if I were to give you a conversation about sports radio in general, and I don't listen all that often because I don't want to take other people's material, and I feel like if I listen, I might copy something somebody else does. So I don't actually listen as much as other people do. But when I do sample sports talk radio, all right, my analysis here, my diagnosis is that it's part of the calendar. Like this time of the year during the NFL, there's usually 5 to 10 pretty good stories a day, some better than others some days. But it's coming in May and June and the months where there's not a lot going on, that's really not a lot of meat on the bone. And to still put out and turn out a decent to above average show, people just pack it in. They get lazy. They don't have the chops to put up. So I think that's where that's our blowout in sports radio when there ain't crap going on, no shit going on. We can say that in the podcast,
of course.
And yeah, so
it's how to do it, and I guess in layman's terms, it's almost like the real estate market. Anybody can be an agent when the real estate market is hot, but when it comes down and it cools off, then you see the feast and the famine that takes place. That's what it's like during this dog days of summer for baseball, because there's not a lot of people that will delve into Major League Baseball. They won't talk a lot about that. They don't go back to the National Football League. And then, of course, the NBA. It had some offseason drama over the last couple of years, but that's been pretty much it. So you really got to manufacture, which comes back to your original point, why it's important not to stick to sports, because there's so many other things that are going on that make a show for 3 or 4 hours entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to mix and match and all that stuff.
But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the hard-o sports shows, is, you know, I find it a hard listen. I know there's some people that love that and they like it, but it's like 1980s sports radio where, like, you'd read the lineups before games during the day. You know, the Yankees lineup's out. Let's read the Yankees lineup. It's like, well, who cares? You go on the phone and see that.
Yeah, didn't you? I mean, I remember you telling me a story about a couple of New York broadcasters that would actually do that for their radio shows in the morning time. They would read, it'd be box score radio.
Oh, well, it was actually Mike Francesa's the legend of this. Like, Francesa would kill, like, segments of his show just reading the lineups and the box score, and it was, and he'd say a name, and then he'd pause for, like, 30 seconds and say another name. I mean, he just dragged it out, but I don't know if he still does that or not, but I'm guessing, I'll have to check with Funhouse, but I'm assuming he does actually do that. Anyway, I was in the middle of the rundown here.
Oh, sorry.
I was doing a formal rundown of this Hootenanny
this
week. So we have Embargo Baby, The Power Lunch, Study This, which I like, and we've got marginal questions from It's in the Bag. It's in the Bag. We've got that, which I would like to see better questions. Now, last week I thought the questions were pretty good. And then Don't Stick to Sports, which will be really a blind. There's no production meeting on this. I have no idea what five stories Gascon's going to pick. He was in a big hurry to get this thing going here. So we'll kind of play that by ear. So that's what I have. I think that's a good podcast. I think that's a solid discussion. It has the ability to be a solid podcast. It's really up to you not to F it up, okay?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Can I give you at least an obligatory sports story to kick this thing off?
Yes. That would be great, because that would appease, that would pacify the people that are upset. You never talk about sports. It's boring. I don't care about what you had for lunch.
All right, well, here we go. Here's our obligatory sports story. Jennifer Lopez will be doing the halftime performance of the upcoming Super Bowl.
J-Lo.
Man, she looks good, though, for her age.
Does that mean A-Rod's going to be hanging out also? Will he be part of the festivities?
Probably there? Be with the dancers in the back. Gotta isn't be, right?
Isn't it usually a group effort? You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
So it'll be her. Who is she going to be with? I mean, there's going to be some ensemble group there, right? The assemblage, usually at the Super Bowl. They have some kind of tandem. That's my, like, they'll bring some surprise musician. Who would be... I'm not big on the music there, Gascon. I listen to it, but I don't know a lot about it. Like, who would be someone that people would get all excited about and fascinated by if J-Lo did some... Jenny from the Block.
Yeah.
If she worked with somebody else. I don't know.
I mean, Justin Timberlake comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Justin Timberlake with Janet Jackson.
Well, that was the Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, I think
that's... Gray Malmonson. I was on the air doing a show during the Super Bowl.
What about if P. Diddy comes out? Then you get a little friction right there, because that whole A-Rod relationship with obviously J-Lo, but P. Diddy's the one that kind of brought her up from where she came, from the block.
Well, J-Lo, she's got a Derek Jeter-like card of her list of accomplishments there, her conquest, right. J-Lo.
But does she have the gift basket?
I don't know that she has the gift basket or not.
Would you sign?
How old is she, by the way?
She's
50. I give her credit.
She's 50.
She's 50?
Yeah, she's 50.
Good for her, man.
Yeah, she's 50.
Well, she probably spends a million. She's like LeBron James, I bet. Jennifer Lopez spends $1 million a year probably to try to maintain the body. Man, she's been, when she first broke in like the early 90s, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's like 30 years of J-Lo, Jenny on the Block.
Do you remember the show In Living Color?
I do. I didn't watch it all. I watched it sometimes, but it was on Fox Show. It was very popular in the early 90s.
So she was a fly girl dancer in that, and that was in 1991.
That's early 90s.
Yeah. So if
the Mrs. The Wayans brothers, right?
Wasn't yes, that that's Wayans right. Yeah, Jim Kelly was on that too. If the Mrs. gave you a get out of jail free card and J-Lo wanted to lay with you one night, would you sign an NDA? Like the Derek Jeter?
No, not now. I mean, maybe 25 years ago I would have, but, it's like, it's when you're younger, Pamela Anderson at one point was the hottest woman in the world, but now probably not. She's got some issues. You're a little older now, and so you move on.
Yeah, but some of these women, J-Lo, Selma Hayek, even Demi Moore, they're in their 50s, and they still look gorgeous.
Well, it's the same concept that a lot of guys have. You want to get with the beautiful person because it's the story of it, right? I mean, there's a story there if you were to hook up with someone along those lines. Anyway, all right, let's get into this embargo baby.
Yes.
So this podcast that you are listening to right now has gotten me in trouble with the NFL, and we don't even talk about sports. Now, let me explain. I have been put on Twitter, not necessarily Twitter timeout, but there's been an embargo placed on some of my work. I use social media, like pretty much everyone in this ridiculous industry, to promote content that we do, audio content that we do, to let people know where to get it and where to download it. And we're trying to build up the podcast audience, which we thank you for being a member, a subscriber, and all that stuff. So we're trying to build up the podcast audience. So I send out these tweets saying, hey, listen to so-and-so and all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. So last week, I sent a tweet out over the weekend. I said, one last chance to catch Benny versus the Penny for week 3 of the NFL. We give you free handicapping and opinions about all today's matchups and the Monday night football game. I sent that out early in the morning on Sunday. I'm not going to lie. It was a scheduled tweet. I don't normally do that, but I was sleeping. So I sent that out. I said download. And then I had a link. The link was to the podcast page. I think it was the Apple podcast page that I happened to have a link to. And I put that out there. So whatever. And then like a couple of days after that, I got a message announcing that the following material had been removed from my Twitter account in response to a DMCA takedown notice. And that was the tweet. And some schmuck, and then they included the person's name who claims to work for the NFL, saying the copyright owner is the National Football League. This guy, James, we'll call him. Now, he doesn't actually work for the NFL. He works for, I guess, a subcontractor, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't even know that. Yeah. The NFL hires to take down content. They have someone all the time monitoring. It's like a room monitor.
Yeah, it's a watchdog.
Monitoring. What's that? Yeah, it's like when you're on the playground, when you're in elementary school, and there's that usually it's a woman. When I was in school, like, had a whistle, and she'd whistle if you did something stupid, starting getting in a fight with some idiot or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this, I don't know much about this person. I've never heard of this company, but it's a subcontractor for the NFL, and they filed a complaint, and the complaint appears to be that I used NFL video footage, which is copyrighted by the NFL. The problem is, I didn't include any effing video. All I said was the word, the letters NFL. That's all I said. Hand to God, Gascon. I showed you the email earlier, right? And now, so you've told me, my legal counsel is David Gascon. What kind of legal training do you have, Gascon?
Well, I got, I'm related to the former deputy chief of LAPD, if that helps. That's,
but he's not a lawyer, though. Your pops ain't a lawyer, though, right?
He's a legal expert, so.
Legal expert. Okay, yeah. I'm sure he's been in plenty of courtrooms, but this is a legal matter, because they want me to, you've advised me to counterclaim.
Yes, in fact, you should. I actually went to our digital department, because the DMCA basically means, or it is, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which was copyright law implemented in 1998. So it's a notice of copyright that an owner feels it was taken advantage of by someone, you, as a subject, for obviously without consent purposes. So yes, you need to return fire. My bigger question is, are you going to turn the dogs loose? Same way Shatner went after you and you brought the militia around, do you turn those dogs loose again on this cat?
Well, I certainly could. I have his address.
Yes, you do.
I have his phone number, which is included in this.
Yep.
Like all that. And that's the other problem. So if I enter into this to rebut the if you've never had this happen to you on Twitter, and this is new to me, I've not had this happen. So to counter the claim, I need to give my full legal name, my complete mailing address, my telephone number, my email, my Twitter user name, all that stuff. And then I have to go point by point. There's like I think it's like five different things that I have to do legally to send it back. And it's a big pain in the ass to the whole copyright. There's an email address there.
Yeah.
Now, that I have. Do you copyright at twitter.com is the email address.
Now, do you feel like this is almost like being audited, where if you're audited by the IRS, once you're audited one time, then it's a consistent thing over and over again? That if you
I think what happened here is this guy just searched verified accounts, because I have a list of the other accounts that this wackadoodle attacked. I'm in company with people like Yahoo. They had a DMCA from this guy, and there's a couple of other big name like media companies that also had it. But I think what happened is this guy was lazy. My theory is this guy was bad at his job, and he just wanted to get this thing over with. So he just searched the letters NFL and tried. You know, he just did it as quickly as he could. He just threw everything out there, and he didn't actually click on the link, because if you clicked on the link, it's a link to a podcast page, which I do not believe the NFL is the copyright owner of. Anyway, it's a pain in the ass. So I will take care of that this weekend. I will counter the claim. And it says, I consent to the jurisdiction of the Federal District Court for the judicial district in which my address is located, and I'll accept service of process from the person who provided. So I could be called into court.
Let's go. Let's go. Hey, at least
go to court.
Yes, let's do it, man. Hey, look, your family has ties to law enforcement. I got ties to law enforcement. I got a legal team to behind you. This wouldn't be quite on the OJ dream team, but we're there.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to work.
That's great. Can you get a what attorneys do you know? You don't need attorneys. Like,
yeah,
attorneys?
But I'm not gonna. Well, yeah, of course you got real attorneys. What kind of fucking question is that?
What do you guys say the F word? This kid's listening. Okay?
Oh, sorry. Hey, listen, we still got five stars.
Chris was giving me a hard time. Chris said that Chris in Houston, who you do not want on the podcast. I want him on the podcast, but you do not want him on the podcast. You don't like him. Mm. But Chris in Houston said that I'm bad at cursing, that I'm not great at cursing. And I told him, I think I said this on the overnight show, as I said, yeah, I don't want to get into the habit because
yeah. –
It's you know, I can get in a lot of trouble at the other place, and I don't want to. It's not worth it. It's
right.
Not worth it. So, anyway, all right. But the power lunch. Now we've been asked by several members of the Maller militia here. They say, "Hey, it's the fifth hour with Ben Maller and Gascon. You guys better tell me about this power lunch, because we all tweeted out photos last weekend, Saturday night, this past weekend. A group of radio rebels sat around, ate Mexican food, and told old war stories at a fine Mexican restaurant, which I used to hang out at all the time when I lived in the city. This El Coyote on Beverly there. I used to live just down the street from there in L.A., and I was there at least once a week, probably twice a week a lot of the time. Everyone knew me when I would go in there. But we got together. I don't do this very often. I'm not allowed out. My keeper does not allow me out very often, Gascon. Mm-hmm. So this was a special treat. But it was me, Rob Parker, the great Rob Parker, star of The Odd Couple and Boston's number one public enemy, Tom Looney, radio legend and television dentist Tom Looney, and then we allowed you to hang on, Gascon. We felt pity on you, and we allowed you to hang out with
him. Now, why was your wife surprised that we actually had dinner outside on the patio?
Yeah, I'm not a patio guy, and I didn't pick the table. I'm an inside guy.
Why?
I don't like the patio because a car could run off the road and take you down and all that stuff. I want to be inside. I want the enjoy. They have more comfortable chairs inside restaurants usually, and padded chairs and things like that. If I had gotten there first, we would have been in a corner, like a booth, In the back is where I used to go when I would go to that restaurant.
Well, it was great weather on a Saturday night. You made me stay at the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios an extra hour, so I got there a little earlier than everybody else.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
So I picked the table, and we went to an establishment that charged $7.50 for one bottle of Pacifico.
Yeah, well, that actually leads us into some fun facts about this meet and greet here. The only person out of the four to order alcohol was David Gascon.
Well, you know,
the only one to order alcohol. The rest of us, we were just there to have a good time and trade stories and talk about the good old days and all that. And Gascon's like, I need to get boozed up.
Well,
what's up with that, Gascon? Well,
the reason I did that was because I knew I wasn't going to get a word in.
That's true. You were pretty much the audience. You were the studio audience for most of that. It was back and forth. But you're the only one to order the booze.
Yeah, I had to.
And here's a fun fact I learned about David Gascon at this little get together with Rob Parker and Tom Looney and whatnot. Not only does Gascon not know how to park, he doesn't know how to read parking signs. So, I mean, you have such a stigma with the parking. So we're there and. Like, I valet parked. I never valet parked. Yeah. I despise valet parking. I feel like, Gascon, it's like you've run the New York Marathon, and then the last half mile, you say, all right, push me across the finish line. It's like, no, I want to finish the race that I started, but I valet park because the parking at that time we had the meal.
Right.
Is terrible in that part of Los Angeles. Like, there's no, it's all metered. I didn't have change for the meter. I couldn't feed the meter. And all the side streets, which have plenty of parking, but the people that live there, I understand, they don't want people parking there because they want to park there. And so you have to have a special sticker. Otherwise, you get a ticket. And there's signs everywhere. So I just valet park. I guess I think it was $5.50 for valet plus tip for the valet. So I did it. And then we're at the meal, and everyone's telling where they parked. And Rob Parker parked. He found a meter. He had some change. He parked there. Looney found a place to park down the street. And then Gascon, I parked in the street. I find, I plenty of parking.
My street sign was covered by a tree, first of all.
That's a lie.
And second of all, that is a truth, but you have a lie because you can actually put your credit card or debit card inside the meter to pay for the parking meters.
So I no.
You were being
no,
lazy about
no,
it.
No, that's only some of the parking meters.
No, because
no,
I
no,
paid
no,
for
no,
it.
No. It is. It is. I'm telling you. I didn't. I stopped at a parking meter, and it was like one of those old school ones.
Wow.
So if I had seen the one with the credit card, I would have slid the credit card in and would have saved myself about $6 or whatever it was.
Wow.
So anyway, but just in general, I mean, not that we can't tell what actually was said per se, because that's private. I'm not going to be Judas here and break the bubble of trust, but we all traded stories about the silliness of working in radio. Rob had some great stories about when he was doing local radio in Detroit and what that was like. And I told stories about San Diego and the Ben and Dave show. And Looney was waxing poetic about New York and all that nonsense. And it was great. And like if you're a radio geek like me, if you love radio, then I was worried, Gascon. I really thought I might overdose on dopamine. Because I was getting so much dopamine I was getting so much joy out of all these stories. I love the stories. I mean, they're great. Rob was telling stories about when he was a beat writer for the Cincinnati Reds and Lou Piniella and the Big Red Machine of that era, the early 90s,
Rob
late
Dibble.
80s, early 90s. Yeah, Rob Dibble, the whole, whole thing was pretty cool.
I thought the interesting thing for me, someone of my age group, was listening to you guys because a lot of the crossover with radio came from the Howard Stern stuff. And so you guys.
Yeah, we were all influenced by Howard Stern. All of us were in one way or another influenced by Stern, but not like Stern now, because now Howard Stern's politically correct and he's by the book and he's interviewing celebrities. We were all big fans of Howard Stern when Howard Stern was a rebel and was the ultimate shock jock and didn't want to hang out with any celebrities. In fact, I think I told you a quote, which I stole in part by Howard Stern, the fact that Howard, he didn't want to be friends with celebrities because he had to be able to rip them, you know, and he felt like if he became friends with these people that he wouldn't be able to be critical of them, right? I mean, that's a version of it, but
Well, I asked the question, where did Don't Let a Falling Star Fall on You?
Yeah. I gave you that. That was, I can say that, Grady Little, who was the manager of the Red Sox and the Dodgers. But when he was managing the Dodgers, they had brought in a bunch of veteran players that used to be all-stars and were really good players and all that. And Grady, not on the record, but off the record, issued a statement about how one of the challenges when you're managing in the major leagues is to not allow a falling star to fall on you. Meaning the team spends a bunch of money on a veteran player. Obviously, that's kind of self-explanatory. And then that player, like, you know, Nomar Garciaparra, I think was part of those teams. Like, he comes to the Dodgers. He's not anywhere near as good as he had been for the Red Sox, but he's a falling star, and he ends up falling on top of you, and then you end up losing your job. Look, Joe Maddon is a perfect example. Joe Maddon, fine baseball man, Renaissance man, Joe Maddon. And you look at what his situation in Chicago, and John Lester got old. Some of the players who aren't even that old have become falling stars on the Chicago Cubs, are not as productive as they were supposed to be, and Joe Maddon is likely going to lose his job this weekend if he hasn't already lost his job as manager of the Cubs. But that was and I buried the lead, my man. You buried the lead. Who paid the bill? Who paid the bill, Gascon? Go ahead.
You did. You picked up the
tab.
That's right.
I appreciate
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Several of you guys, you want to see alligator arms. I call Kyler Murray alligator arms Murray. But when that check came, suddenly, you know, some of these guys, I'm not going to name any names, suddenly had alligator arms. They didn't want to go for that check. I went right in there. Unlike Cam Newton, who backed away, I jumped in on top of the fumble. Is what I did.
Well, if you look at your phone right now, there's a reason for that. But I will say this much is that
Let me look at my phone.
Last time that we enjoyed a dinner, I had a piggyback and carry the entire team with us, you and Lee and the rest of the gang. So
we got to do more of these things. My wife does not want us to do more of these things. But I could not get enough of this.
I think the best thing for me listening to you guys talk was the satisfaction that there was absolutely no ounce of social media ever present when you guys were operating under those circumstances. Because if there was, there's no chance in hell you or Rob or Looney would have gotten away with half the crap that you guys did on the air or in print. Because it'd be blasted all over social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and then you guys would get blasted right to the chest and probably out of a job in certain circumstances.
Well, under the sensibilities and the everyone's offended by something crowd, which is everybody, you know, it's like the continually offended mob that run around here and are triggered by everything. You get the snowflake types and all that. I like to call them the Charmin Ultra Soft toilet paper crowd who just freak out over it. I mean, some of the stuff that we were able to do, and I got into the business at a really good time. Looking back on it, I'd always said I wish I'd started a couple years later, because when I started, it wasn't all digital and all that stuff. There was no social media. There was none of that stuff. And we had the facts of the day. We'd have that and the interaction. And people would like send. I did a midday show in L.A., and we had tons of people that didn't have to be provoked. They would you know, send in the text, the facts of the day, and then and all that. But I learned all the old equipment in radio. Man, the technology has changed. And when I first started, I was an engineer, like a board op, and I had to use these reel-to-reel machines, cart machines, this old technology that no longer, outside of small markets, is no longer used in radio. And so I learned all that, and then I had to learn everything again because they changed it all to digital, and so I had to learn that. But as far as the, like, radio bits that we did, I mean, it was great. It was wonderful, and it's stuff that people loved. And I get guys that listened to when they were in their 20s who are now in their 40s or whatever, and they were like, oh, I love that. Why don't you do that anymore? And I'm like, well, I can't do it anymore, those bits.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, please.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I grew up and I would listen to Jim Rome, but I would listen to Rome twice a day. It was when I was in San Diego, whenever I drove back, he'd always be on simulcast. Or on the simulcast, he'd have the broadcast replayed up here in Los Angeles. And so I remember my first night working here at the network, working overnight on your show, and I thought exactly that. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, he's a breath of fresh air. You get the monotone dudes that are the 9 to 12 or the 12 to 3s that are always the same shtick and spiel. And then I had no idea for the longest time who you were. And then I remember it. I was like, wait a minute. This guy lets it rip. You were the first guy I had remembered listening to prior to Jim Rome that actually turned loose on stuff as opposed to the regular black and white box score material. This is how the show's going to be. It's all structured. And maybe we'll dip into a couple of phone calls.
Well, very kind of you, Gaskin. Look at you buttering my biscuits there. I appreciate that.
Need a future dinner. That's...
But I believe that is good radio. I think that's good talk. Good audio content is when you become... You have to be passionate. That's what I was told, you know, and I believe it to be true. I don't even be told it, but I was, you know, been repeated many times. In fact, I just heard from one of my old program directors who was a big influence on me, Mike Thompson, who I love, a great guy, helped me out a lot. And he's a radio lifer and just had some great memories with him. He worked all over the place. He's actually now just got a job in Omaha at the Fox affiliate in Omaha. Mm. So he was texting me the other morning. But like the philosophy, like, I don't like listening, playing it down the middle. I feel like that's terrible. It's like, well, we shouldn't, you know, form an opinion yet. We should wait until this, you know, this game's over, and then we'll, you know. No, I mean, that's not how it works. And
right.
Anyway, not that you have to be completely unhinged and illogical and all that, but it generally makes for better radio if you're stark raving mad. You know what I mean? If you're not a little bit on that, you're not a little psycho and wacko. It's usually a pretty boring radio thing. And moving on, we got to study this. That's next, Gaskin. Are you ready for study this?
Yeah. Let me ask you, how was the what was the reception like for your audience last week when we did the food picks and the destinations of where you're going to die in the United States? Any kind of response to that?
Well, I did get some people were shocked that we did 30 minutes on the causes of death in states, that they were surprised that we did that, and completely understandable. I didn't get much reaction from the food stuff. I thought the food stuff was pretty good.
Well, because you can't see it. That's why.
Yeah.
What did your wife think about your favorite STD? Any kind of thoughts from her on that?
Well, she, you know, we disagree. We debated. She has a different favorite STD. And so we got a little argument. Me and the wife, you know, we'll get some marriage counseling in here about this.
Love it.
Sure, we'll be all right.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So study this. These are actual studies. Now, I have an obsession. If you know, over the years you listen to the show, and you're obviously, if you're a super fan, if you're listening to this, you're a Mallard Militia person, P1, all that. So you know this probably, but maybe not. Maybe you're new to the show. I love studies. Now, I have a love-hate relationship, but these are usually university studies, but sometimes they're commissioned by non-universities or whatever. And I have a love-hate. So a lot of this is just bullshit. It's just absolute bullshit. So we're going to play a game on study this. Is this legit or is it bullshit with these studies? Now, for example, this one I saw this week, it's fake it till you make it. It's called imposter syndrome. And this is when people feel like frauds, even if they are actually capable and well-qualified for what they're doing. And they say it's more common of people who are of college age, like college students. Say about 20% of college students suffer from what they call imposter syndrome, where experiencing something new, they're outside their comfort zone and whatnot, and they feel like they don't belong there. So is this legit or is this bullshit? I actually think this is legit, Gaskin.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I know when I first got on the mighty 690, this huge radio station, I was like, man, I don't belong here. These people are better than me. You know, when I did Dodger Talk for the first time, I was like, man, I hope they don't listen because, man, I'm bad at this and I don't belong here. And these people are great and I don't. So I definitely have felt that at times in my life. I have you?
Yeah, I did when I first got into the industry. I started from the ground up, though. I don't know how you got in, but I was a technical director and then I was a producer and then I became an anchor. But that first time, red lights came on and microphone popped, I was like, wait a minute, I'm talking 1,000 words a minute and trying to emulate other people. I just felt like I was a small fish in a giant pond.
Yeah, I felt that way a couple different points. I mean, they would bring in big name stars of television or sports and stuff. And it was always, you know, it's like, what am I doing here? You know, I mean, I'm from Saddleback College. I'm not supposed to be hanging out. But you got to get over that, and you get over it. But I do think imposter syndrome, I think it's more than 20%. I think it's a lot of, if you get your dream job, whatever that might be, and when you first start, you're trying to get your sea legs underneath you and all that. So I believe in the imposter syndrome. All right, moving on. Spread the bad news. Now, this got my attention because every once in a while, Gascon, some foolish, incoherent nutball will send me an email saying, you know, you're so negative. You are such a negative Nelly. You know, you're such a barbaric, heartless bastard. You know, they give me this whole rant about how I need to be more positive. Well, the reason I am the way I am is because I know human nature, Gascon, and I was backed up by a study. Obviously, this makes me feel better because I agree with it. But here's the study. Negative news, the reason it gets broadcast and published online more than positive news is because, according to a new global study, on average, humans tend to react more strongly to negative information. And when you're in the media business, a lot of this is trying to get a reaction out of people. And that is an example of and I already knew. You know how I knew this, Gascon? Do you know how?
How?
I knew this when I did Dodger Talk years ago. And when the Dodgers would win.
No calls.
No calls. Nobody cared. When the team lost, it was fire the manager, fire the GM, whoever the star player wasn't performing well, get rid of him. But then, the even more confirmation, for about 2 years, I was the fill-in guy on Red Sox Review, which is the Boston version of Dodger Talk after Red Sox games on EEI. So I would come on. I didn't do it all the time. I did it maybe a couple days a week after Red Sox games. And I noticed the same exact thing. When the Red Sox, like last year in 2018, when the Red Sox won, they set a record for wins for the franchise, I believe, 108 wins or whatever it was. That was tough because they almost never lost, you know, and people wouldn't react. They didn't, nothing to complain about. Now, I will say one thing about Boston a little more than L.A. is that they can find something to complain about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, the team could be, you know, win 15 out of 17. They'll be like, well, I think the other shoe's going to drop. But still, generally speaking, it was if the team was not playing well, people would be arms in the air and all that stuff. So this, to me, is confirmation, corroboration of what I already knew.
Yeah, I believe it 100%. I would rather look at a car crash than I would see like a wedding or a proposal. In fact, you bring up a great story. And I thought about this just now because, you know, the whole Antonio Brown, I'm taking a hot air balloon into wine country for, you know, for the Oakland Raiders and their training camp in Napa. Nobody really cared about that. But there's a Twitter account called Darwinism. And I watched this on loop yesterday where this guy took a hot air balloon and it wasn't out in the middle of nature. It wasn't out in the middle of just green pastures everywhere. He brought this hot air balloon into the middle of a city. And it got tripped up by power cables and power lines. And you hear the person that was recording this saying, get out of the way, get out of the way. And this hot air balloon goes crashing on these power cables. And you just see this giant explosion. And I was enamored with it. I just kept watching it on loop, on a loop, on a loop. And I was like, you know, who could give a shit about Antonio Brown? But I would watch this over and over again, Even though I know what the outcome is.
You know, you're a morbid person, I guess. Guys.
We?
I
you are. We?
Not me, no. I don't know what you're talking.
Okay, because you'd send me some morbid stories that
those
I can't.
Videos? Oh, what? When I was in, junior high or high school? Was it like Faces of Death?
Faces
or something
of Death,
like?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a big thing before the internet.
Yeah.
And it would show people meeting their demise.
Right. Or there'd be some where like a parent would hold their kid from getting run over by a train that was coming through an expressway, things like that. Yeah, just avoiding death at like a narrow margin.
Yeah.
Those are good. So you watch those. Don't act like I'm the only one that's morbid.
I didn't
here.
Like them, man. My friends would be, my guys would be like, hey, you gotta check this out. Like,
you're not above it. Yeah, I know you're
hard,
not.
But the problem is, it wasn't like today where you could just go on your phone. These kids today. You had to like go to, there were VHS tapes. You had to find this stuff. I mean, it was hard to find, you know.
But I won't watch anything that has death in it. If people survive, it's available. If they die, I'm not going to go searching for it like on Reddit or some of these other, you know, backdoor websites or anything like that.
I didn't know Reddit was a backdoor website.
Well, they have links to those different things. I read an article yesterday on Reddit that had turmeric, which is being contaminated right now by manufacturers in Bangladesh for lead. There's lead that's being deposited into some of these supplements.
But that's not globally, right? It is.
People order that stuff all the time online, especially like through Amazon and some of these other websites. Whatever.
I should tell my wife. She loves that turmeric. She's all about the turmeric, so she should probably stop taking the turmeric.
Well,
at least not get it from Bangladesh.
Yeah, Bangladesh.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What is next here? We're doing study this. How about clickety-click? There's a new study out that explains how clickbait works. This is what I wanted to know. They say the reason people are pretty much helpless to avoid clickbait, they have to click on it, is because there's the promise of compelling information, and it's, I used the word dopamine earlier. They say it's a dopamine pathway, they claim, that dopamine is released and creates that itch that can only be scratched by clicking on the clickbait, because you have to obtain the promised information. Essentially, it is the human condition. We are all wired, every man, woman, and child, the same way. We need information because of our safety or whatnot. We live and we feed on information, right? We're in all of us. We need to know about things. We're curious people. Most people are. And they say another way that clickbait lures people in is they say it's like the Vegas effect, because of there's this variable ratio reinforcement, which is a lot of big words. Of schedule, kind of like in gambling with the slot machines and all that, the noises, no clocks in the slot machine, the little tricks they do in casinos to keep you around. But they say the clickbait headlines, according to this study, make us curious and see what's behind the curtain. It's like you want to peek behind the curtain, see what you just see a little taste of the story. That makes sense. It makes sense. And people complain about clickbait, but, you know, it ain't going away. And if you don't want clickbait, stay off the internet.
I think clickbait only comes for most part, it's usually with videos now, right? You have like a 50-second or 15-second or 20-second video feature, and it just teases it. And then you get the article that's deposited inside. Or you got some sexually provocative pictures that accompany a meaningless article, which you don't really want to click on, but you do so because you want to see what's behind door
TV,
number two.
TV does it all the time.
Radio does it.
Yeah, we do it all the time. Yeah, we do it in radio, of course. I mean, you want people to not click. You want them to stay. You don't want people to leave. We tease all the time, and sometimes I'll forget.
My
guys don't remind me, and then 2 hours later, I'm paying off the tease because I'm on to something else.
Now, what about the blue light? Have you read about that much, the blue light effect on your brain, where doctors have talked about the effects of looking at your cell phone too much, and that blue light impacts your eyes and also your brain, the dopamine, which could impact your ability to lose weight, get proper sleep. They say that you should not look at your phone the first 60 minutes of when you wake up, and don't look at your phone or a computer 2 hours before you go to bed, just because of the way that it wires your brain and rewires it.
You know, my wife, you sound like a hippie. My wife, who's a hippie, and she's into all the special vitamins and all the new age stuff and all that.
But your wife works out. She takes her vitamins and supplements. So what the hell is wrong with
she
that?
She got me – she reads these – this stuff online. She got me these glass, because she read the same thing you read a while ago.
Yeah.
And so she got me these glass, because I'm on the computer all the time. You know, I put some stuff down, and I try to put some notes down for Benny versus the Penny during the week or whatever before I go to bed. And so she knows this, and she got me these glasses that are supposed to help you with the light so it doesn't affect you.
Right.
They're like, you know, and I used them I don't even know where they are now. I used them for a couple of weeks there. That was right up there with the other thing my wife did, was the Himalayan salt lamp, which she got me because it's supposed to help your, I don't know what it helps with, but she told me some story she read somewhere. And so she bought this big Himalayan salt lamp, and I used it for like 2 weeks, and then that was it. Didn't use it again. It's disappeared. I don't know where it is, but it's not here.
Yeah, but keep in mind with what your wife does for a living, she's got opportunities to listen and read information and educate herself, as opposed to picking up some tabloid magazine and just taking it verbatim and saying, all right, here, try this, honey. It's not like she's ordering something that's from India and saying, hey, Ben, try this out and see if it works.
I don't know. Maybe it did come from India. Well, you got a problem with India? What's up with that, man? You don't like curry? Shame on you.
Like USA, American-made products.
Del Curry.
Maybe.
You ever had Indian food?
I have. Actually, I had it last night here in the studio. Paid really? For by somebody else, yeah. We got an Indian restaurant that's like right up the street.
Who paid for the food last night?
One of your old technical directors, Alex Teicher, the dude with long hair. And
Teicher? Oh, it must be vegan.
No, it was not, but he's got a disturbing tattoo on the back of his neck, so my food almost was regurgitated. So
Teicher has a tattoo on the back of his neck?
He's got a tramp stamp on the back of his neck.
No, yes. He does not.
Yes, he does.
Well, maybe he does. He has long hair. I don't usually see the back of his neck.
No, he just got it.
I don't know what you guys were doing.
No, he just got it, and he was flaunting it, so we were compelled to look at it.
What is the tattoo of?
I don't know. It was some kind of, it's like some kind of Greek language on the back of his neck, I think it was. I don't know exactly. I was working. I wasn't paying attention much to it. He was bragging about it on the air with a couple of their hosts. By the way, that reminds me.
I didn't know about it. This is new information. Next time I see Teicher, I'm going to have to quiz him about this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
That reminds me, back to our power lunch or power dinner. I got so much heat from the staff here about going to dinner with you guys. Why didn't I get an invitation? Why didn't you guys tell us about this? Da, 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 da. It is amazing what happens when you get together with fellow employees outside the confines of Fox Sports
Radio. Well, it's very rare. We, you know, in the early days, even of Fox Sports Radio and the other places I worked, they used to have, you know, team bonding get-togethers where you'd go and do some activity together. We haven't done that in years. Plus, a lot of the talk shows, like Clay Travis does the show from Nashville. There's RJ Bell's in Vegas.
Right.
I mean, these guys aren't even in L.A. where, you know, a lot of the shows are in L.A., but they're all over the place. And some of the guys that we have, Dan Patrick does the show from Connecticut, but he's on the network. And you've got Rich Eisen does it from a TV studio.
El Segundo?
Colin Cowherd does it from the Fox lot
right.
in West L.A., so he's not in the building that we're in. So it's everyone's all over the place. But yeah, we should do those. But like, I would like to do these again. I don't know. Like, this should be like once every other month or something like that. I don't think I can get it every. I think my wife will kill me if I do it every month. But like once every other month, and we could, you know, we could come up with a list here of what you love, of like people we should hang out with that we know in the business.
Well,
that have to be good storytellers. Like Looney's great at telling stories. And the cool thing about going, I'm as an introvert. The reason I love hanging out with Looney is because I don't feel the pressure to talk.
Right.
Because I know if there's any pause in the conversation, that Looney will pick it up, right? He will pick it up and he will do what he has to do to enhance the conversation.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it.
I think what we need to do is just make sure that you're willing and able to drive from Arizona out to the west side of town because –
No, this is good because, you know, when I lived in the city, I had all the restaurants in L.A. We still go to a lot of those places. Next time, we should go to Fat Sal's is what we ought to do.
That's a great – we could actually do the podcast from there. That place is open until, I think, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Right yeah, no, it's great.
Encino.
Yeah, there's one in Encino. There's one in – of course, you want the one in Encino because it's close to – actually, it's not close to you. It's close to where we work. But there's one in
– Hollywood.
The one I usually go to is in L.A. just south. I think – what street is it? Highland, I think it is.
That's right. Yeah, in Hollywood, yeah.
Just down from Hollywood. Yeah, just down from there. I hang out there. That used to be a real seedy neighbor. I used to live near there, and that was – that street at night was where the hookers were. That was where the prostitutes would walk the streets there. And they weren't always, they were not always women. They were not always women, guests.
How did you find that out?
I heard a friend had told me about that. Used to be a taco stand right on the corner down there. And that was apparently where everyone would hang out in that particular. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, it's not my cup of tea. We're doing Study This. What is next? We did clickety-click. How about push it real good? It says here that a study has discovered that introverts, like me, are happier after pushing themselves socially. And I think this is actually more bullshit than anything because I pushed myself a little bit this past weekend at that dinner thing we had, but I don't feel happier because of it. I don't think that's the right way. I will tell you, though, go back to the thing. That was like a three-hour meal.
Yeah.
That was a long – I mean, that was the kind of thing when you're a kid and your parents would talk to, like, your aunt or your uncle. I used to go out – my Auntie Vi and my mom would go out, and they would just talk, and it would be like, I want to get out of the restaurant, and they're telling stories, and I'm like, I don't want to hear your stupid story. Take me home. And that's what it was like. But fortunately, there were no kids there, so it was all right. We just kept going.
That's perfect. Yeah, we didn't even eat a lot. We had I had some street tacos. I think you had some tacos.
Yeah, I didn't eat that much. I mean, the chips, which were good. The other problem, here's another reason I don't like eating outside. You don't get the chips replenished as often.
Oh, because
the service. When you're inside, the chip person comes around all the time. But when you're outside at a Mexican restaurant, and it works the same way with Italian restaurants with the bread. They don't bring the bread as often when you sit at an outside table.
Well, I don't
think. It's not part of their rotation.
Yeah, I don't think us, as guys are looking to lose weight and eat all the chips and bread and salsa and all that stuff.
So. Well, shut up. Speak for yourself. This is like a cheat meal. When I'm on a cheat meal, I eat like the old guy back in the old days. I go big. Because I don't eat much, as you know, Gascon, because you send me that food porn, you schmuck. And so I don't eat a lot during the week, but I try to have a nice hearty meal on the weekend. Well, I try to do.
At least you know what I'm watching or looking at on Instagram. It's nothing that's, what do you say, platonic between two people. It is all food porn.
It's a lot of, and that stuff's really good. But you never actually want to go to any of those restaurants. So it's, they're probably all over the place.
Are the Ben Maller chicken fingers actually legit? Are they good?
They are really good. Yeah. Yes. Yes. No, if you go to Kansas City at any point, you've got to do it. It's in the Kansas City area. The chicken fingers are all. Let me tell you something, Gascon. All the food dishes that bear my name, and there aren't very many, but these food dishes that are part of the Maller brand are wonderful. The Maller chicken fingers, which have been at three different restaurants in Kansas City, and the price has gone up because they're so damn popular. They're so amazing. People love that, and they can't get enough. And we had the Maller Fowler, which is at the, I think I've told you this before. I think we talked about this in the original podcast. But the Maller Fowler is available in a strip club, the Ballet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, in Lawrence, Kansas.
That's right.
And, and the guy that put it together, he is a big fan of the show. He doesn't live in Lawrence. He drives at night after the show, and he's a big fan, and he wanted to honor us and all that. And so, it was pretty cool.
You know, you need something in the UK, I feel, because you have stuff here in the United States, but I think Terry's in the UK, one of your listeners.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. That would really inspire me to go to the UK, to go to the restaurant, because I got to get to the place. We're at four. I used to have a pizza named after me in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but I do not believe that still exists. I believe that item's off the table. We had some big super fans in Syracuse. The one that started this was a restaurant in Syracuse that had it had a sandwich that was named after us, and it was great. And that was awesome back in the old days. But now we have at the Flamingo. I'll give you the list here, Gascon. It's the famous Flamingo Club in Lawrence, Kansas. It's called the Bird by the locals there. And they have the Maller Fowler. It's a mouth-watering chicken sandwich. Mm. It's absolutely great. I believe the reason that Kansas has had such great basketball teams over the years is because of the Maller Fowler. I believe that to be true. And then we also have in Denver, which you're a big Bronco guy, so when you go to a Bronco game next time, we have the wonderful restaurant in Denver, the Sportsbook Bar and Grill in Denver, and they've got the Maller's breaded chicken sandwich, which is hand-battered, delicious, breast of chicken, tossed in. They put that Frank's red sauce on it. And now they have the lettuce and the tomato and the cheddar cheese. I choose no tomato, no lettuce. I'm okay with the cheddar cheese. And here's a fun fact about that, Gascon. In 2014, a Denver Bronco player was arrested outside and released from the Broncos practice squad because he got hammered at the Brookside Bar and Grill and was like running from the police and hiding in mulch outside the Sportsbook Bar and Grill there in Denver. And I think there's two locations now.
That's
there's one
good.
In Greenwood Village, Colorado, and there's another one. So there's two different locations. And then we had the Landing Eatery and Pub in Liberty, Missouri.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That's the one with the chicken finger.
Yeah, I tweeted at them to actually disband that food item. I remember that 2 years ago. Yeah. Wait, so you don't you have food dishes, but you don't have a drink yet. You need a cocktail, whether it's beer or a mixed drink, at least.
That would be good. I like that, and it would be nice if the we need every region of we have a lot. We're very big in the mountain and the Kansas City, Missouri area, we're very big in that. But we'd like to expand. You know, there's a whole Maller food brand on the East Coast. I mentioned we had the guy in Syracuse, Vito's Pizza and Seafood, which was right near the Carrier Dome there in Syracuse, and they had the Malzone, I forgot the name, but it was the Malzone that they named after. It's like a calzone, but it's the Malzone.
Solid.
And it was a good deal. People loved that, man. That was popular. But they sold the restaurant, and new owners didn't know who the hell I was. And so that was they got rid of it. And but usually what I've learned from people, and we got a lot of guys and ladies or whatever that listen to the show that are in the restaurant business, the culinary business, and I've learned that one of the biggest expenses for restaurants is to change the menu. So once you get something on the menu and it makes the menu that they give out to people in the restaurant, generally that stays on the menu for a long time because it's a pain in the ass to change it.
Yeah, and usually you're hoping that that item stays in the middle of the menu, not the top and not the bottom. You need to be right smack dab in the middle because it's usually where the focus and attention for customers goes, right to the middle.
All right, let's do a couple more here. We're doing study this. We'll get to it. We've got a lot to do still. My God, we'll have to pick up the pace here. How about this? Recipe for high school popularity. How do you become popular in high school? They've done a study. This is Florida Atlantic University.
Oh, jeez.
they have researched this, and they have concluded that the most popular teenagers in high school have two different qualities. They describe it as Machiavellian-like, is what they say. And essentially what it is that teenagers that are more popular are both aggressive and manipulative when it serves their purposes, but then they quickly, like they're bipolar and they switch over and they're nice and lovable and agreeable.
But that's every teenager, isn't it?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, this is bullshit. Every teenager's like that, right? The whole thing and their body's changing and all that stuff. They're going through the hormones and all that. So everyone's like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They claim it. They said it was like Mean Girls, the movie. Remember that movie from 15 years ago or whatever, Mean Girls? It was a chick flick. I didn't check it out.
Sure you didn't. Were you like that? Were you like that in high school?
Popular? No, I was not popular. I was not.
Were you aggressive though?
No, I mean, I had my group of friends and all that, but I was not. I was an introvert then. I was socially awkward and things like that. It was, not my scene.
You were like 6'5", 6'6", and you were an introvert at that time?
Absolutely.
That's unbelievable.
Last study this. How much money do you spend on a Halloween costume? Halloween's going to be here before you know it.
That's right.
There's a new study out. Take a guess, Gascon. How much did the average American spend on a Halloween costume?
Okay, I will say, because you said average American, I will say $60, but one stipulation. I will say females spend double the amount that males do.
Yeah. Well, you went too high.
Oh.
You went too high. It's because you got to remember, there's some people that spend nothing.
Right.
So the average is, though, I mean, you got people that spend a lot and people that spend nothing. So the average costume's $31.
Okay.
That people, is that, can you get like a mask for that, some makeup for $31, something like that?
Well,
right?
Guys can do like a Jason mask, wear a goalie mask, and that's it.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th, whatever, Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Easy peasy, right?
Yeah.
All right, moving on. In the bag. It's in the bag. These are actual emails. We won't do too many of these because they suck. We'll do a few of these. When was the last, this is from David, when was the last time you went bowling? I think we were asked this on the radio show. I don't know. Maybe this was a repeat. I've gone bowling maybe once in the past 20 years, maybe twice. I had a good time. I love that bowling's the number one participation sport, and more people participate in bowling than any other sport. You big bowling? That's a thing we could do. That we could get the guys together and go bowling instead of eat food. We could just eat at the bowling bowling alley or whatever.
I went bowling 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks? Were you on a date or something?
No, but I did go. I went with some friends. And, it was a random night out and nothing else to do. So, yeah, went.
All right. Chris says, can you do a deep dive on Marcel? No, Chris. I mean, there's not much there's not much to Marcel. He's a very basic person. He thinks he is breaking news on our show. I love that. I love when Marcel, because he doesn't listen all. He calls up. He wakes up and calls the show the last hour.
But you encourage it, and that's what makes it so bad.
No, I love that in Marcel's head, he is Walter Cronkite before the internet. You know
right.
what I mean? Like
yes.
he is breaking news. And it's great. He's sitting in, you know, in an apartment in a bad part of Brooklyn eating oodles and noodles from Marcel. But for him, this is like the highlight. He is a national star on the radio. And I feel good. I feel good because while it is terrible radio most of the time, I get a kick out of it. I think it's funny that he's so into these stories that he gives. And the food picks thing, he doesn't even realize we're goofing on him. The food picks, that's great. And then his player of the week or player of the night, when Marcel does that, really the main reason we have him do that is because he'll mispronounce names. But lately he's just been saying names he knows how to pronounce, which isn't very good.
Yeah.
But he butchered Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam. And those guys during the NBA Finals, it was great. What's next? John, why is Blair known as Whoopi Pie Blair? Well, we were originally going to call him the Blair Witch Project, but he was offended by that. And so he originally called the show from L.A., from Orange County. He moved to Maine several years back. And what is Maine known for? Gascon, what is Maine known for?
Not a damn thing.
That's incorrect. It is known for the Whoopi Pie. The Whoopi Pie is associated with Maine. And so that is why we do the Whoopi Pie Blair. It's one of the foods that's kind of in that region is known, you know, the Maine Whoopi Pie.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Simple enough.
Ray says, have you been watching Ken Burns' country documentary on PBS? It's must-see TV. Ray, no, I have not. I would like to. The problem is I can't schedule to watch it at the times it's on because I'm working and watching games or whatever. And I tried to, I had my wife on the hunt for this guest gone because I heard, I love good documentaries and I want to watch it, but I can't watch it on demand. I don't believe there's a way without paying, you know, a certain amount, I can't watch it. Like PBS, I feel like you shouldn't have to pay for PBS.
That's
PBS,
true.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to watch it if it's available. If somebody knows a link, if it's on YouTube, somebody put it on there, if it's available somewhere else, I would love to watch it. I think it was Looney that told me he was watching it. He said how great it is, and there's a lot of radio reference. I'm not a huge country music fan. I love Johnny Cash, but I feel like he's a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
I would check that out. Have you seen any of that?
I have not. No. In fact, the last documentary I did see was the one that you referred me to. Was it Getting Roger Scott or Roger Scott?
Roger Stone.
Roger Stone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
That was really.
I think
good.
He's going. That was a well-made documentary.
It was. That was fire.
I think he's going to jail probably, right?
He's going broke. I know that. All his legal costs that are mounting up. But, yeah, that was a really good documentary.
One of the great characters in politics in the history of the United States. Writes in, it's grab bag. These are actual questions by actual listeners like yourself. What does Weed Man have to apologize for? All right, so first of all, I'd say just being Weed Man and being a beggar and all that stuff, he should have to apologize for that because it's, you know, he's trying to hit up and panhandle so many of my core P1 people. So that's annoying. But the second thing is that he had a hissy fit because he was panhandling on the internet. And one of our friends, I think she was in Syracuse, a very nice woman, big fan of the show. And she was going to send Weed Man some money. And she announced it on Twitter that she was going to PayPal Weed Man some money. So I told her not to do it. Because I don't want to encourage this activity, right? I don't want to encourage this idiot. And so he got all upset, and then he read on the internet that I was worth like $3 million or some crap like that, which is total bullshit. And he read that on the internet, and then he made all these derogatory, like, and I'm fine with derogatory comments, but he crossed the line even for my sensibilities, and I'm pretty open to this stuff.
Yeah.
And so he has to apologize. And if he doesn't apologize, he's not welcome back. And it seems like he's not coming back. He's called a couple of times, but he has been unable to. He's so prideful that he cannot handle the scrutiny that we're giving him. So, but he does have to apologize for the comments he made on social media and all that stuff. So,
good riddance.
Aussie Momentum writes in. This is one of our international listeners. He writes in. He says, out of the following between Gascon and Ben, please let us know if you could please, who would win this, I think is what he's asking. An arm wrestling contest, an archery tournament, a mini golf match, tequila shooter drink off, and a 100-meter sprint. Now, I know I would kill you at miniature golf. You have no chance. I think I would be pretty good at archery. You're an alcoholic, so you'd win the tequila thing.
That's not true. You got like the Andre the Giant advantage where you can drink more than I can just because of body weight.
Yeah. Arm wrestling, I don't know. You seem like a meathead, like you work out a lot. So
yeah,
I work out, but I do more cardio. I don't do the weights as much. So.
Yeah, but I'm left-handed, you're right-handed, and I have a surgically repaired right rotator cuff. So you probably have the advantage
kicked
there.
Kick your ass on that. That'd be good. The 100-meter sprint, boy, if you can't beat me, you're pathetic, Gascon. So
I could probably do that backwards.
Wow.
A little backpedaling. That's fine.
I don't know about that. Bobby writes in, he says, can you please pick college spreads maybe in the second hour, like a Benny versus the Penny, the college edition?
So I was going to ask you about this, and I had an idea of what we should do or could do, is that starting next week is we should do a quick promo video for Benny versus the Penny, but you provide a college pick, one college pick, but we do it for video format only, and then we attach it to your Twitter handle.
So like the handicap at college. Yeah, I mean, we could mess around with that.
Yeah.
I mean, usually there's three or four big college games on a weekend. Sometimes there's only one.
Let's do one for Fox then. We'll do the Fox, because Big Noon usually celebrates one game that happens at 12 or 1 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah.
We could do that one game. Hopefully we don't have the NCAA that writes you a cease and desist letter, but we'll try to overcome that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What else do I have? Vols fan Jimmy says, I'm adding about 10 people at work. The graveyard shift, he says, I got half of the third shift listening to the show. Well, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. That's the best kind of advertising you're going to have, the word-of-mouth advertising, getting people in on this. All right, time now for Don't Stick to Sports. These are stories that David Gascon found that have nothing to do with sports, pretty much like the entire podcast. So give me a couple of these stories, Gascon.
All right.
We'll put the baby to bed.
Here we go. I didn't realize there was an agency for this, but here we go. When not to get your hands dirty if you are a cop. Now, there's a designated agency that certifies and disciplines all police officers in Utah, and they've taken another step towards that by banning sexting and masturbation while on duty. You heard that right, Ben. So, now, I don't know what you do during the advertising breaks, but I don't ever recall, like, the desire to shake loose for a bit. Anyways, the Utah Peace Officer Standards and Training Council reportedly found that there weren't any rules explicitly in place for forbidding this practice. So naturally, they provide some guidelines where they expanded to include the forbidding of an officer in uniform to send sexually explicit pictures. Thank you very much, Utah.
So you're more familiar with like the inner workings of police. Is there a lot of is masturbation a big problem with the police?
I don't know. I'm not a police officer.
I mean, like, everyone enjoys masturbation, but do they do it while they're at work?
I don't know. You know, in a squad car, people got a thing for the uniform. Do you want to see a mag light?
I've read stories before that, like, there's some women, like, a certain percentage of women, like, it's on their bucket list to stoop a police officer, like, at work, like, while they're in uniform. Like, there's some, and so I don't think that anyone in radio feels, like, there's no group of, like, female groupies that want to do that while you're in radio, I don't think. Maybe it's all, like, rock radio, but yeah, that's... It's wild, man.
Well, I'm happy you brought that up, because that actually leads me to my next story. We always have different stories about relationships broken, repaired, whatever. We're going to go on that beaten path again. A 26-year-old woman fell in love at her wedding all over again. Great story, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. Ben, this one fell in love with a 49-year-old DJ. It was her DJ. The woman was married for less than a year, but felt neglected and unhappy when she randomly bumped into the DJ again. The two started getting together, chatting, texting, whatever it may be. Eventually, they fell in love and they got married. How about that?
So she's 26 and he's 49?
Yes,
is that right?
Yes.
All right. So I don't know anything about these people. I have no idea. But where did this happen? Where was this?
In the UK.
Oh, it was in the UK?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I thought this happened in the U.S., but whatever. Mike, whoever ended up getting the divorce, good for that person, because, I mean, this woman's crazy, right? I mean, what are you doing?
Well, that's huge, because you booked the job, and then you booked the chick.
Yeah, I mean, for the DJ, from his perspective, I mean, this is a major score. The guy's almost 50 years old. He's with the 26-year-old. I mean, that, you know, that's wild, man.
Well, he actually had a way to break her down, because he had explained to her when they started getting together that he had just ended a 26-year-long marriage. So he was able to break down her walls, if you will, and then eventually win the day.
Oh, yeah. Well, should you become a wedding DJ, I guess, kind of? You find a woman that way, you can go out and perform at weddings?
I guess. You could do that, right? Just, I'm Ben Mello, the talk show host, right here on Fox what? Sports Radio.
Well, you don't have to say that. I mean, I could do, like, bar mitzvahs and birthdays and stuff.
You could do that.
But then I'd have to be in front of people, and it'd be awkward for me.
Eh, whatever. Well, speaking of awkward, how about this? This would be perfect for California, but I'm sure we'll get some sensitive people objecting to this. A South Korean mayor tried sending a message to environmental campaigners.
Oh, I saw this. This is great. This is wonderful.
He actually ordered dumping of collected trash onto a local beach. So what he basically did was he ordered truckloads of trash, and hundreds of volunteers the next day had to pick it up as part of an international coastal cleanup day.
Yeah, so essentially the way I saw this story is that the beach was clean. There was no trash on the beach, but they were doing an environmental day where they had a beach cleanup. So you can't have a beach cleanup if there's no trash on the beach to clean up, right? Otherwise, what are you doing? You're just a bunch of idiots. So he called in the dump trucks to pour trash all over the ocean.
Oh, man. It was great. I saw the before and after
pictures. This is an elected official, right? What a dum-dum. What a freaking moron. I mean, my goodness. You talk about, you know, use the word dingleberry. That is a dingleberry.
But the fact that he got 100 volunteers to actually participate in this is another thing.
Yeah. I mean, what a bunch of ignoramuses there. I mean, that is a shrewd level of dumbness is what that is.
It is definitely that shrewd. How about this one? I hate flying, but I love to travel. Now, I know you hate flying and you hate getting out of the house, so this won't really apply to you.
Well,
but
no, I don't. I like going places, but the actual process of traveling, I'm not a fan of. Planes are not designed for people like me. They're not. They're designed for little people.
Yeah, but you really hate being around people anyway. So
if I was a dwarf, I would love flying because I would fit in every aisle. It wouldn't matter and all. But I'm not. I'm an oversized lug.
Fair enough. Now, anyways, Japan Airlines is helping out passengers with a roadmap. I don't know if you've heard about this, but the airline has created a new tool that lets passengers avoid infants when they book a seat. Now, the website will display passengers with children that are between the ages of 8 days and 2 years old on an icon so you can know exactly who to avoid and who to sit next to. The only catch, though, is this icon shows up if you book a flight on their website. You can't go to a third party and identify the children on the flight.
So you can't save money on the – you have to pay more, a premium, right?
Yes.
Because they charge more on the airline websites usually. All right, couple things. A, this sounds – it's one of these things in life that sounds great in theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when, you know, you date a beautiful woman and then you realize that she's a basket case. You
right.
know, it sounds – on the outside she looks good, but she's all messed up or whatever. Anyway, on the inside. So it sounds good in theory. I get that. Number two, my experience with kids on planes, like the main reason you don't want to be near a child is because they're gonna cry and whatnot on the plane and disrupt your flight. But to me, it doesn't matter whether you're in the – you might not be next to the infant, but if they're crying on in a tube in the sky and if they're loud enough, it's going to affect the entire plane.
Right.
So it doesn't really – I mean, this is – what's the end game? What's the accomplishment on this? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like – You're trying to avoid the noise, but you can't avoid it. You are stuck in a traveling tube in the sky, and if you know all the noise, you're going to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two things I want to avoid when I'm on a big flight going a long ways. That is the lavatories and the emergency exits. Because the emergency exits, you don't have that television that's in front of you, and the lavatory, the door opens up right where your seat is. I actually had that happen to me when I went to Europe over the summertime. and I was on a Virgin Atlantic flight. Flight was packed, and I had nowhere else to go, so I was shit out of luck for 10 hours. So that's a brutal spot to be in.
Yeah, my tips on traveling, and I did travel for years. Like, I would go back to the East Coast a lot, did that TV thing for about a year, which, you know, every month, and then just my other travels. But I like the exit row because you have more leg room.
Yeah.
That's, like, one of the special. So for me, though, the exit row is not a problem, and I don't eat on planes. I don't, because I don't want to have to use the bathroom. I don't want to have to go to the laboratory. I try not to drink that much until we get late into the flight, because then I know that I can make it to the airport and I can use the commode at the airport and all that stuff. But it, you know, it's, other than that, I mean, there's not many many rules. But I don't eat I don't pay for it. I don't pay for the add-ons.
Nah,
some people pay for the add-on. I don't pay for the add-on.
All right, Betty, last one. The University of Canterbury left a stink recently, and it's not good for anyone involved. 2 months, nothing was realized until campus police in Christchurch, New Zealand, went into a dorm room, and they discovered a body. It was the body of a first-year student who had died. Now, the body had not been discovered until then, after 2 months. It had been decomposing in there for 60 days before anyone had discovered him. The body had been untouched for such a long period of time that they had to bring in forensic officers to come in and take fingerprints, DNA, and also collect dental records to identify the kid.
All right. This is amazing to me. Like, so the flesh is rotting. The guy dies, and then nobody... Like, he has no friend. I mean, no friends, no. I read his family was trying to get a hold of him, but they couldn't get a hold of him. He was far away from where he grew up or whatever.
Yeah. And the only ounce of observation from students was that they had gone on vacation for 2 weeks and came back and they still couldn't find him, or they didn't know where he was at. But 2 weeks, that's nothing compared to 8 weeks, right?
Well, the other thing, too, is like, don't you get mail? Isn't usually the post office, if you're not collecting your mail or things like that, or you're not paying your bills, you know what I mean? Like,
not in a dorm, though. In a dorm, you usually have those the mailboxes when you enter the dorm facilities. So you just load your mail up in there, or they put it in for you, and you pull it out whenever you get a chance. It's never
I've never lived in a dorm, so I don't know.
Neither have I, but I know that.
But I have heard stories like, if you know, sometimes the postal employees like that are alert, like if someone's not picking up their mail, they will sometimes, you know, they'll try to knock on the door. They might even do a wellness check or call for a wellness check to try to. That's brutal, man.
Yeah.
You got nobody to look after. Well, that's sad, man. How does that happen? It's not a third world country, New Zealand.
No, those
are my people. These are my guys. I love New Zealand.
That is true. Man. That is true. Well, that's all we got, Ben.
All right, well, there it is, another edition of the Fifth Hour. Thank you for being loyal. Thank you for downloading. And really, thank you for listening to this entire crap that we've done on this Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and David Gascon. And don't forget, Benny versus the Penny. Got that as well. Download that. That's hard-o football conversation. Had a very good week last week. We'll see if we can make it 2 weeks in a row picking NFL winners. And interact with us, please. We need your questions. I didn't think the questions were that great. So if you have a good question, you can do it on our Facebook page or just email us. Just email us there. And it's realfifthhour@gmail.com, right? realfifthhour@gmail.com. I believe that's the email address. And you
fifth
can,
is spelled out. Fifth is spelled out.
Yeah, fifth is spelled out. And you can send that in and keep the email coming. Put question or grab bag in the headline, and we might use your question on a future edition of the podcast. And follow us on Twitter. I'm at Ben Maller. Gascon, is it the Gagon account?
It's at David J. Gascon.
Okay. Yeah. And Facebook page for the show is Ben Maller Show on Facebook. And then we've got the Reddit page, Ben Maller Show on Reddit. So have a great weekend. We'll be back live on the radio side after the NFL on Sunday into Monday morning. Enjoy the weekend.